Senate Bill 749, the Constantine Report, takes us back to very close to 749 as it was passed out of this body. There are some slight changes to it. We actually had to open up the insurance chapter to placate the insurance industry's concerns. But I'm pleased with what came out of this committee process, conference process, and move that the conference committee report be adopted.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from St. Francis, for what purpose do you rise?
Briefly inquire the senator from the 24th.
Senator, do you yield?
I do yield.
He does. Proceed.
Tell us what bill this is. I mean, I know it's slightly changed, but what is it?
Oh, sure. This is 749 is the bill that we voted out of here that's a direct response to the current administration's contraceptive mandate that was put forward in January of this year that would mandate that religious organizations would no longer have the religious exemption to choose what employee benefits to offer or not to offer.
Very good. Thank you.
Got it.
Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
Speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise today to speak against the bill as I did earlier this year when it came up. As we have discussed ad nauseum, and I'm not going to drag it all out again, I feel that at best this is just a restatement of existing law and unnecessary at this time. At worst, I'm a little bit concerned that it might do some things that are unintended. We've had a couple of issues brought to us over the course of this. First of all, the definition of sterilization is not where the insurance department would like it, because it's not the elective language that's in there is not defined the way that it should be. Second, I am concerned, as are the companies, are the insurance companies that are standing out in the halls, that we may be setting up a situation where they are going to be in trouble with the feds if they do one thing, and they're going to be in trouble with the state if they don't do the other. And so it's a situation that the insurance companies are incredibly worried about as well. That being said, I want to talk for 2 seconds about the process and what led us to this point right now. When we brought this up, and the senator from Lewis is telling me I only have 2 seconds. When we brought this up, it was a time where I realized that I'm in the deep minority on this issue. Not just the minority like our little minivan caucus, but the deep, deep minority. There were only a handful of us who were opposed to this. And I recognize that, and I understand that in the deep, deep minority, one of the only ways we can keep things from happening is to sit down and negotiate and compromise. And so we started to do that, and we started to work with Senate leadership, and we started to work with the bill handler, and we came to a place where we were able to get a bill that was going to be able to leave this chamber. And we worked hard to get to that, and several people on this floor worked hard to get to that point. And we did that because those of us in the deep, deep minority saw other bills that were much more concerning and much more damaging to the people of the state of Missouri, and we wanted to stop those things from happening. And so we negotiated an agreement, and we were able to get it out of the Senate, and we did exactly what the Senate is supposed to do. We came up with our Senate position, and we sent it over to the House. And I'm very excited about that because the process worked. Now we're in a situation where we've got factions out in the hall putting pressure on all of us right now to flip this settlement over. We've got the insurance companies who are trying to say, throw this thing out. It's horrible. We're going to be in a lot of trouble if we don't get it done. We've got conservative religious organizations with deeply held beliefs saying this doesn't go far enough. We need more protections. We've got the second floor saying that it causes problems. And it might even be unconstitutional or at least too vague for us to be able to enforce. And we've got the House saying we want it to go farther. And so we've got all these pressures on this body right now, but because we were able to work the process the way it was meant to work, we actually have made it to this point and we're going to be able to get something done. Now, I'm just going to give you fair warning. I'm going to go a little bit Senator of the First on you here. That's right, Senator. I'm going to go a little bit Senator of the First on you. When I was in law school taking a legislation course, I had Professor Chris Kobach, many of you may know him. He is now the Secretary of State in Kansas, and he taught us, and part of his lesson plan was Federalist Number 10 from the Federalist Papers, written by James Madison. And as many of you may know, that talked about the power of factions and how damaging factions can be to individuals. And I read it then, and I understood it, but I didn't really get it. And over the last 15 years, I've had the opportunity not only to read it several times, but now I actually teach that same course that Professor Kobach taught to law students at UMKC, and I teach Federalist Number 10 to those students, and I talk to them about it. And this summer, I had the amazing opportunity to take a course out at Harvard Kennedy School, and it was in that curriculum, too. But at the end of the day, I went up to the professor who was teaching from Federalist 10, and I said, you know what? I understand conceptually what's going on here, but I just don't get it. I don't get it. And he looked at me and he said, Jolie, you just need to keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. You will get it. So I kept reading it and kept reading it. And I have to tell you, this morning I woke up and I read it again. And I finally get it, because it's exactly what happened here. We in the Senate, a majority and minority, got together, we had differing opinions, and there were factions coming at us from all angles. We had the House, we had the second floor, we had the insurance companies, we've got the Missouri Right to Life and those organizations, all coming at us, telling us to flip this over. But we fought off the factions and the dangerous destruction that they can make, and we came up with a compromise that is something that the majority of Missourians can live with. Was it a huge victory for folks in my camp? Heck no, absolutely not. Was it a huge victory for folks in the Missouri Right to Life camp and the religious organizations? No, it was not. But you know what? It was something that we can all live with. And it's an example of how this body can work. We didn't have to PQ anyone. Everybody got something they liked, and everybody got something they didn't like. And I think that's why this place works, and I hope it's something that we can do as we move forward, is continue to work together in that manner. And that's why today, despite the fact that I've got people knocking down my door telling me not to keep this agreement and to talk about this thing for, you know, all day if I need to, I'm telling them, no, I'm not going to do that, because I made an agreement, and I'm going to keep it. And I want to thank right now Senate leadership and the senator from the 24th for keeping their agreement with me, because for every person that knocked on my door telling me to blow this agreement up, they were knocking on their door telling them to blow the agreement up. And they didn't do it. They hung together on the Senate position and were able to get something done. So I just want to thank everybody involved right now for that process. I finally get why it makes more sense for us to work together and keep those factions at bay than it does for us to completely buckle to special interests, no matter who they are. And so, Mr. President, I will be voting no on this bill, but I want to thank everybody in this chamber for the process and for making this work, and I look forward to doing this as we move forward in the future. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
Fire the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
We're going to get a little bit into the sterilization issue, and could you bring me forward where that is? Because I think originally I had some questions on that.
Yes, Senator, the sterilization issue is this. We did not want to put anything in the bill that would prevent individuals from being able to receive medically necessary treatments that might result in their sterilization. And the issue that you and I discussed, I think some people think that this is enough. I think some people think that it is not enough. I will tell you that I think it is enough. It's just not the exact wording that the second floor would like. What we did in the sterilization piece is we said that only elective sterilization procedures will be included under this. So it would be someone going in and saying that I want to sterilize myself. I want to, whether I'm male or female, no longer be able to reproduce. That's the only thing that is included in this. The language that the second floor wanted used the words medically necessary. So it's just semantics at this point, elective versus medically necessary. I'm comfortable enough with the elective language that's in the bill that I'm going to let it go, because I feel it not only meets the spirit of our compromise, but also the actual substance of our compromise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Well, I think I need to renew my motion, but I want to speak briefly again on the bill. It's important to understand that this legislation in no way, shape, or form changes access to abortion, contraception, or sterilization. Access is exactly today what it was after this bill passes, access will not change in any way, shape, or form. What the mandate required was that employers pay for these services for their employees. Access does not change. It's just a question of who pays for these services. And the mandate put forward in January now requires that religious organizations are forced to pay for these services. And we've already started to see this just this week, the response from those organizations. Earlier this week, Catholic University announced they'll no longer be offering any health care for their employees and their students. Ave Maria University followed suit yesterday, and I think you'll see a series of these institutions deciding not to offer health care. So, again, it's not access, it's who pays for it. And with that, I renew my motion.